All right, I'm on.
Good morning, everybody. It's January 13th. This is January 13th, 2020. 9 a.m. We're in the public meeting room, the Story County Administration Building. And we're starting the budget work session for FY21 for engineer and secondary roads. As I think we all know, the board's responsible for funding mandated services, and we also fund several very important services. And the purpose of the budget hearings is for give your department an opportunity to talk about the value to the Story County residents of the services that you provide and that you're proposing for 21, and also to help us prioritize one of the many important things that we fund. So we appreciate that. We're going to ask that you address your projected revenues first and then your expenditures and to explain any difference in trends. And you've done some of that in your work sessions. We may have questions as we go along, and what we'd like to do is ask the questions when they come up rather than wait till the end of your presentation, if that's okay. Okay. Did you have any personnel requests?
No.
Okay. So I'll address operating. The instructions were that all offices and departments should continue to lower expenses, streamline operations whenever possible, not to increase based unless it was justified by current expenses or known increases. I believe this board's done a good job in the past several years of realizing that unanticipated things come up in the midst of fiscal years, and when a department head or an elected official comes to us and explains that, try to find funds to deal with that. And I think that's a good way to do budgeting, because that way you're not thinking you have to put money in your budget for any unexpected thing that might come up. And we're also able to do the best job with taxpayers' funds that way. And I believe I can speak for the entire board. Our desire is to continue to do business that way, so we have sound, responsible budgeting, but not over budgeting. We will schedule a call back if we can't get through your budget today, but we've got all morning because you have a large budget and a lot of moving parts in it. So I think if we're all efficient in terms of asking questions and answering questions, and I think we can get through everything today. So I'm going to ask the other supervisors here if they have anything that they would like to say before we start out.
Welcome this morning, and thank the team for having clean roads this morning.
Mm-hmm. And that's a little spiel I've been saying to everybody, okay? So that when we met with Lisa Markley last Monday morning, we got our first projections for fiscal year 21 based upon no new tax askings at all, okay? We've got a spread between what we anticipate revenue to be right now and what all the asks were. Total it's $3 million, but it's about 1.6 or 1.7 in actual new revenue, and the rest of it is from might be applied by funds or whatever. And you've been through this so many years, so that's just the initial projection. Okay.
Then any other things we need to say before we start?
How are you going to do introductions
for the rest
of the
week? Oh, gosh, yes, thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's what a weekend will do to you. Okay. So for the record, I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves to start with people up here at the table. Linda Merkin, Chair of the Board of Supervisors.
Sandra King, Director of External Operations and County Services.
Laura Solson, Board of Supervisors.
Lucy Martin, Auditor.
Lisa Haddon, Board of Supervisors.
Alyssa Wignall, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor.
Darren Moon, County Engineer.
Lori Menzi, Financial Management.
Thank you. Anything else in this? Darren, Lori, it's yours.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'm going to start out a little bit different than I normally do with this, because we're in a little bit of a unique situation with our budget. We have a quite large carryover balance, more than normal. So I got two more copies. I gave you a copy of a sheet that I use. Now, what the smaller sheet is, just we have a spreadsheet we use for budgeting, and it's kind of our balance sheet. What I wanted to point out, I mentioned the high carryover balance. at this point last year in the local budget, we did not know we were going to bond the next year. So by bonding, that kind of kicked in like an extra $1 million. It took what we had budgeted locally for a couple projects into bonding. So that added another $1 million to our carryover balance. So what this sheet is, you see receipts, the two boxes, the top one's receipts and the bottom one are expenses. You go down to the bottom of the total receipts, it's about $7.8 million. There is a $600,000 item up towards the top there that I highlighted. That is a one-time bridge replacement fund, so that's not something we normally get. So our normal receipts are right around $7.3 million. So the budget I submitted this year, if you go down to expenses, is right around $7.3. What I wanted to do was kind of balance revenues with expenditures, so we have a balanced budget, and then we can address the carryover at the end. So we'll have to add stuff in if we wanted to bring that carryover balance down. But the budget I submitted was what we normally would balance out for receipts, just to give you an idea of where I'm at.
My first question about the $600,000. Okay, on your revenues, there is a line that predicts $605,000. It is 266,120.
Correct.
Is that the $600,000 state payments?
There's a normal $5,000 we just stick in there as a token every year if there is no plan. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to point out, down towards the bottom of receipts, that's our property tax levy money. That's the general and the rural transfers. Those are the two that have to come up to 75% of our local effort amount. Otherwise, the DOT takes the money away from us. We don't meet the minimum 75%. So the big sheet, the second one, this is kind of bad timing.
Can I stop you again?
Sure.
Okay. Because what we've got in the budget on page 101 for the transfers, we have $640,000.
Yeah.
You've got $590,000 here.
So,
yep.
Can I just make a statement here? So when he requests last year's, basically, so that we hit the minimum effort, but when the new valuations are brought forward and I know what the valuation is going to be and I see what we actually need to do for 75%, I put numbers in saying, okay, in order to meet the 75% minimum, this is what we're going to do.
So we should be using the 640
right.
and the $2.3 million, not what's on your sheet per se.
Correct.
Okay.
So while we're talking about local effort, something I've always wanted to do is have our service bureau put together what other counties do for local effort. So the big sheet is just kind of free information. I've never had this information before in the past, but what it shows is what all counties do for local effort. The majority of counties are over 100%, and what that means is they levy 100% of the allowable, and they supplement roads with additional funds from some other fund. So the majority of counties are well over 100%. Story County has historically been towards the end. We're usually around 80% when we include our motor grader local option sales tax transfer. Well, it doesn't transfer, but it's used out of local option sales tax money. But that's just for information, the big sheet. It's something I feel Story County could probably do a little better in our local effort, especially compared to most other counties. We're usually in the top 10% when it comes to vehicle miles traveled on county secondary roads, but we're usually towards the bottom on the local effort side. And that was difficult for me when we fought for the fuel tax increase, that we weren't even coming close to 100% of local effort, but yet we were asking, lobbying to get a fuel tax increase for more money. So that kind of made it a little hard for me to hit that too hard when we weren't even doing what we could internally. A side note to that, I know Lisa will say, because of the Farm Bureau lawsuit, we can't go 100%. I don't know the details of that, or at least you probably explain that to you a little better, but that's probably a long story, so we probably don't want to get into that now. But
we can go 100%. We can levy $3.95, most likely.
Okay.
But my point would be you are still carrying over 60 to 80% every year fund balance. So
yeah.
I understand what you're saying about Story County doesn't give you 100% local effort. And quite frankly, Story County has made the decisions to fund other things from the rural fund, so there's not as much room in the rural fund to be able to. There's a lot of counties out there, because I see them on the conversations with the auditors, that the minute they get their rural fund levy, they transfer to secondary roads immediately. It's an immediate transfer, so that they get 100% every time, every month, or whenever they collect taxes. Story County funds things differently. Story County has a different makeup than a lot of these counties do. Once the funds go to secondary roads, you and I both know this, and I think the board understands this too. Once the money goes to secondary roads, it stays in secondary roads. It can't go anywhere else.
Correct.
So is it because we're bonding? Is that?
No.
No. Nothing to do with the bonding. Okay.
We pay for other things out of the rural fund. There's a lot of counties that only pay their secondary roads transfer out of the rural fund, period.
We have such a higher carryover because we bond.
No, we do not have a high carryover because we bonded. We have a high carryover because the expenses just haven't, the expenses aren't, there's a lot of times where road projects are going over the summer, so it looks like we have a high fund balance when we start the year because we still have projects that we're working on. But my point is, it's consistent. It's every year we have over 50 to 60% ending fund balance in that fund. So there are other, there are ways that we can spend down. And I understand that the Secondary Roads Department is not going to go out and willy-nilly spend. They're going to have a reason to spend it. But in order to justify transferring more money from the county to make their local effort, there has to be a trend of spending the money.
Thank you.
So I guess this is kind of a bad year to point this out, but
I
wanted it for a long time. And two, because we have a high carryover balance doesn't mean we don't have the needs. It's more of a budgeting thing. We've been asked to do more with less for so long. That's just my mentality. And we cut back, and we don't lose our money if we don't spend it. So if we have a good weather year or something, we don't find things to spend the money on. We just carry it over.
Let me ask you a question, Ben. Because what I see is a lot, what we do is we decide we've got a budget for the year, so we divide it by 12, and the assumption is that we're going to spend equal amounts every year. Do you have a budget variance report or expense report that you keep internally that you have budgeted what you're going to do month by month?
Yes. Lori prints that out once a month for me, and we go over that. It's more to do on probably the construction side, what we plan ahead to do. And one, with the fuel taxes, inject a lot of extra money that we're not used to getting, so we need to increase our construction. And the whole carryover thing, construction money, we don't know what year it's going to fall in, makes it hard to budget sometimes. But I've got some ideas how we can bring the carryover balance down this year, so that's our main goal. I'm not asking for a lot of additional money this year, but in the future, once we get that carryover balance down, I think that'll become an issue again. So the other thing I want to point out on that sheet, like Lisa says, we get down to the bottom, there's a pretty high carryover balance. We show it around 59%. That's our estimate. It won't be exact. I view that as we want to have about $1.5 million as our minimum carryover balance. I also looked at what all 99 counties, what the average carryover balance is, and it's about $3 million. There was a handful of counties, there were a few that had $10 and $11 million carryover. I don't know the reason for that, if they're saving up for something. But about three was the average. So I like to be about 1.5 or 2. But having a $3 million carryover isn't unheard of. We do have what I estimate to be about $1 million kind of on hold for that next motor grader lease. The first two leases, we had $650,000 that we injected from our we had equity in our existing machines. So now that is gone. So we're going to have to come up with that $650,000, and the next lease is going to be much more expensive because we didn't get snow equipment this time. We're going to have to get all new snow equipment on the third lease go around, and our two spares will be much older. So I estimate it to be 800 to 1,000 or a million we'll need for that motor grader lease. That'll be 4 years from now. But so that leaves about 1.7 million that we could spend down, in my opinion. And my recommendations for that, my number one, but right below it is more rock. That's something every county's dealing with right now. And in my opinion, we should probably put everything we can into rock. But if we don't want to go all rock, we've got all kinds of bridges we could place, so that'd be in the construction side of things. And then the, number three is the staffing, but we've already done that. You've allowed me the two new positions recently. So far, that's working out well, and I'm not going to ask for any more staffing anytime soon. Back up on the upper right there, I wanted to point out, too, I have already, in our re-estimate, I've increased FY20, $175,000 in our rock budget, so that's for this spring, our rock hauling. I re-estimated that amount into it. And then in my asking already in FY21, I increased the rock an additional $375,000 over what we normally ask for in rock. Just to give you an idea, it's bumped up a little bit already included in what I've asked. And then the second point is I included the radio purchase of $150,000, and that may not be necessary, but we'll get to that later when we get to radio and part of the budget.
And Darren, I just want to clarify, so this is the purchase, not the fees associated with them, because I got the impression of the fees.
The $150,000 is strictly the purchase of the radio. Okay. Yeah.
So you do have the fees, the full $33.93 in your budget.
Plus the $150,000 for the radios.
Plus the $150,000. Okay. Gotcha.
So we probably could cut that back. We understand it now. We didn't know that at the time we submitted our budget. So we can move into revenues now. On the first sheet, the big item, of course, is the road use tax fund revenues.
What we've been doing with the other groups have been just running in order, though, even though we may not want to comment on something, you know, the big, so just running the list. Because I actually, for example, do want to ask a question about sale of fixed assets.
Okay, we can start with that.
Any new word or any further word on the gentleman who was interested in buying the McCallsburg shed?
The latest on that is we were able to repair our shed and get it back open, and we feel that's going to last quite a bit longer. The price he wanted seemed a little high to us, and it did not have any bathroom water facilities in it, so it would take even more investment from us. So at the current time, I think we're fine with where we are. If he comes back to us and lowers his price, we may consider it, but at the current time, we don't have a lot of interest in it.
Okay, thanks. I know it's actually in the revenue set, but it reminded me about,
sure.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to flip sheds or whatever. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, two miscellaneous items, and the third one is the road use tax. That is a number we have used historically. The state estimates it for us once a year, and we use their estimation number. The past few years in particular, they've been quite low on their estimate. So that's another reason our carryover balance is built up. I don't know what they've been, $200,000 to $300,000 low at least. A couple of reasons for that. The time 21 was some additional funding that was going into that, and that has finally reached its max last year. So we probably won't see those additional funds anymore as much as we had in the past. And what was the other reason? Can't remember the other reason that it had been kind of high in the past, but we did lose some roads to Ames Annex, some like Lincoln Way, some really highly traveled roads. That affects our funding formula. It takes money out of the county. So I think that's another reason why we'll be a little bit lower estimate-wise than what we have been in the past. So I think that's a good estimate number, but I wouldn't be surprised if it comes in a little bit higher than that. FEMA, we don't expect any FEMA funds next year, we hope.
Wow.
Drainage District Services, That's our reimbursement for the tile work we do in districts.
So you've got $31,000 so far this year. So might that be higher than $40,000 next year? Or is there a reason why you...
Yeah. We had a lot of... After the hard freeze last year, it seemed to affect a lot of tiles underground with the heaving and stuff. So it's a guess, but we think we've hit it pretty hard. We won't be getting into that work again, you know, until March, April time frame. So we don't have a lot of the year left to get a whole lot of additional monies reimbursed. So
along with the fact that what happens is the drainage district pays, but if there's no money in the drainage district, then it's a stamped check. So it sits in a file until you guys levy in that district, and then the money comes through. So it's very hard to predict. It's a placeholder is what I would call it.
Intra-county reimbursement, not a lot expected there. And we get into the roads and transportation services, and that's where we have a $600,000 federal bridge reimbursement.
So you have a specific project you're paying for doing?
Correct. It was actually just let last month, and it was let at about $580,000, but there's always contingency left, right. So $600,000 is a pretty good number still. Local government payments. Salt sand, we do supply some smaller communities of salt sand. That's probably the biggest revenue generator there. It's just at our cost. We're not making any money off of that.
How's the sand this year? Are you good, salt sand?
It's so far because we haven't had a lot of use, and we do have a new supplier who hauls it by semi out of Nebraska, so we don't have that railroad bottleneck in Ames this year. And we've actually ordered a couple times just to see how it was going to work, and they were here within a week or two, so... But we haven't hit the peak time. That's when, and we do have the new salt shed in Kelly up and built. We're not putting salt there yet because of the new slab, but we might put it there this summer. But that'll be some additional storage, so hopefully our salt, we shouldn't get too low like we had in the past. We actually did run out last year. Trip permits. We're a little high on that this year because of the wind farm, putting the new blades on the wind farm. That was an additional 500 permits at least, I think, for that. So we don't expect that next year. So we're down from what we are this current year. Other governmental fees, driveway permits, 911 signs, that an average number we use over the years. Don't expect any big fluctuation there.
Is there some reason we are low at the midpoint this year, or do most of these happen in the spring? Because if you look at our year-to-date, only 23% of it received so far. Is that because most of these do happen in the spring?
Not necessarily, although, yeah, most of the farmers are doing their new driveways and stuff in the spring when they're planning for the year, so that does happen, but I can't explain why it's down this year. It's a hard one to predict. Insurance damage payments.
It's worth a $75,000 donation in 19. I'm just curious.
Where was it from?
Yeah.
It went towards the bike path up to Gilbert.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Was it the city of Gilbert who gave it, or actually, I mean, we know.
The last one, city, we had a private individual.
$35,000 from private and $35,000 from Gilbert, wasn't it?
It was, it from Gilbert or an organization in Gilbert?
Yeah.
I think it was an organization.
They were taking donations. Yeah. Okay. I just wondered what it was.
And donations is not something that
it's
you're going to see in this budget.
Okay. Well, but maybe at a KPO or something.
No.
Okay.
Salvage material that's mainly from our steel bin. We take used steel and turn it in. Workers' comp. compensation, Lord, I'm not sure what that's for.
That's the refund from, so they come in and do an audit every year after the year's over, and they do an audit, and so they refund based on the audit and the hours worked and all that kind of stuff. We're usually lucky and get a minimal refund.
Yeah, if you have a lot of overtime, we probably won't.
Right.
I mean, they'll come in and audit. Lisa estimates the payroll amount. And
I just our payroll when we actually put the work comp premiums, when they put the work comp premiums in order, I estimate the payroll, and then they come in and do an actual. So
yeah.
This is the...
Sometimes we owe.
But your work comp's gone down. In recent years, that's trending down, so that's good.
Okay. Fuel tax refund, $25,000. That's the federal side, or the state side?
The state side.
Federal is automatic. We have to submit reimbursement. The three-year average is a little off because sometimes it gets two of them get done in a year, and then we miss a year. So
I think that's what happened this year. It looks like.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
this year we got two already. Yeah. Nothing last year, however.
Right.
But 25 has been a historical average, so. Capital projects, nothing there.
So on that, the bond, Lisa, we've already done the $8 million?
No.
We just passed it.
It's re-estimated at this point.
Okay.
That's a conversation that we really need to have as to where we're going to go with that, because... No, we have not done the $8 million. No, we have not done anything at this point in time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for reminding, refreshing my faulty memory.
We levied in the 20-year as if we were going to borrow $8
million. Right.
That's where we're at.
And that's part of what we need to discuss, right? Because we can only levy if we've got debt, correct?
I have a quarterly report tomorrow. I'll be updating you on some of the bonding projects. There are some issues with some of them. And then about a month from now, we have our five-year program discussion for construction, and that's where we'll really get into that again.
Okay.
And we're going to talk to bond council and get a re-estimated schedule prior to the budget public hearing, so you know what your levy should be better. Right now, it's a placeholder number.
So that brings us to the rural levy transfers, and the numbers we put in were updated by Lisa, so she has updated numbers in there, mainly to meet our 75% local effort.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this, and I'll just refresh you. If we don't meet the 75% local effort, we lose dollar for dollar state road use tax dollars. So that's, it's fairly important that we meet that 75%.
Any questions on revenues? Move on to expenditures. Okay. Starting out with administration and engineering first. The first line of administration is machines and fixtures. That's mainly our software, our solutions.
Correct.
That doesn't vary too much from year to year. Nothing new there that we're asking for. Training and education. We split that between engineering and administration. So this one's a little high toward the average. That's more to do with we're not getting to the conferences we'd like to. We hope that picks up here. Communication, phone bills, is fairly consistent. And our fiber line we pay through IT. Publications, newspaper publications, it's gone down over the years, but we still keep 300. We have to publish every once in a while in newspapers. $4,000 in office supplies. It's our standard number. So we don't always spend it all. That's why our three average is lower than that.
Way to go, Lori.
Postage is pretty standard, $500. Drug and alcohol testing, for some reason the past few years, it's all random, so we never know what it's gonna, how many we need to test. It's gone down the past couple of years for some reason. So we haven't done as much testing, but
that'll go up a little bit.
I would think it'd go back. Well, we average about 1,500.
Apparently, they're gonna select more for random. Then right. they increase that percentage. It's all computer based. We don't do it. We just get sent something from our drug consortium. So
that says who the test specifically.
Yeah, we don't pick it.
Okay.
That's how we want it. It's all random.
Yeah.
Computer generated.
Right.
St. Luke's does it for us. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And then miscellaneous, that's just for Ames Tribune. We get one in the office. Administration, what first items, consultant fees. That's up a little bit right now just due to the big Skunk River Bridge. We're having a consultant do. Typically, we do all of our engineering in-house, but every once in a while, with larger bridges, we'll have engineered outside. Machines and fixtures for engineering. That's, again, a lot of AutoCAD software licenses. No big changes there. Plan. Professional development, conferences. Supplies. That's mainly our surveying supplies. It's up a bit this time. We need to get a beam breaker to break concrete for testing purposes, and those are fairly expensive. I think they're $3,000-$4,000. That's due to some DOT changes that they require. So that's why that's up a bit above the average. And then bridge inspections, that's every other year we do bridge inspections, and that's average is about $45,000 a year now, and this will be an inspection year, so we need to include it. Bridges and culverts, this is just some bridge repairs we're doing, $60,000. For many years, we did a lot of wood piling repairs and stuff, but that we're having a hard time finding bridges that justify. When we do one of those bridges, it was starting to cost $30,000 to $40,000 to do one bridge, and they're getting to the age where we either do some smaller fixes in-house that aren't very expensive, or we do a complete replacement. There's not many we can do those full $30,000 repairs on anymore, so that number's only up because that's what we typically budget, but the three-year average, we just haven't been able to find those bridges, but we have plenty of repairs we can find left. We hope to get that money spent anyway on other stuff. Culverts, similar thing. These are hard to predict which culverts are going to go bad, but these are the culverts that we replaced in-house. And to buy the new pipes, that's been a fairly consistent number for us over the years. Then we get into the rock and gravel. This is the item that should be our biggest increase in the budget this year. Under that re-estimate, that's at $1 million now. I think our budget amount was $825 is what we originally budgeted. So I'm asking we re-estimate that with an additional $175,000 this spring. And then in FY20, I'm bumping that up additional $375,000 from what we normally budget to $1.2 million.
So, Gary, just so I'm clear, so the on your sheet here that you gave to us, which says FY20 $175,000 rock increase.
Yep.
That's in the 1.2.
Already built.
In that 1 million there, and then the 1.2 already has that $375,000 yep. Calculated. Okay, thank you.
So that's what I've already built in, and if we want to apply some carryover and bring our carryover down, apply it towards rock, that'd be additional money we could add above this number. My one concern with rock is we've never really been in this situation before where so many counties are in the same boat. And I talked to Boone, who historically doesn't haul a lot of limestone out of Martin Marietta. They do a lot of gravel. They've already said they're going to do a big rock hauling contract this spring that we kind of plan to as well. So we're going to be kind of fighting over trucks. There's only so many trucks around that can haul the material. So even if you said it increases another $500,000, I don't know if we could get it all on the road. We could try our best, but just make you aware that could be an issue this year. There's going to be a lot of counties looking for a lot of extra rock.
So since we're right there on that now, what are you recommending at the carryover to go to rock? What amount?
Into the next year, in FY 20.
21.
21.
Oh, 21. Mine isn't up to this far.
Yeah, you wanted to add some of the carryover to that $1.2 million.
You correct. Another $500,000?
Mm-hmm. I would say another $500,000, and hopefully we'll kind of find out this spring with the truck situation if that's even doable, but I think it will be.
So bringing that to some $1.7 then.
Right. So, Darren, in doing that, let's say that the truck availability, we can get it, okay, out there to the roads, right? Do we have the crew capacity to do additional miles? I mean, you know, to spread that extra $500,000 of rock?
Yeah, and the additional one I'm asking for is where we go out and actually contract the trucks to even haul it for us. Yeah. We're always hauling as much as we possibly can with our internal crews, so I can't really add much more to that because they're hauling as fast as they can. So any additional is going to have to be contracted out.
Once it gets here, we've got capacity to get it graded, get it down and graded.
Yep. They haul it directly to the road, so we just have to have the maintainer out there to smooth it out. So it's not a big cost for us.
So is there a problem with putting on that other $500,000 in?
No, I probably say that's the largest amount of calls that I got from folks.
Yeah.
Just on a squeaky wheels out in the country. Yeah. It's really not.
So, okay, I guess we're okay with that. Okay.
I guess so. I'm thinking that I have a question when we get down to the projects predicted for this year. So I'm a tentative yes. So we have that discussion a little further on.
Patching, hot-cold asphalt mix, that's a lot of the crack sealing we do. That's maintaining our existing asphalt pavements. That's a fairly expensive item, but that is one that's sometimes difficult for me. There's only two contracts that really do it in the area, and getting them pinned down to come in is sometimes difficult. And last year, our contractor, the company got sold out, and the person I was working with actually left the company. He has come back to that company now, so we didn't get anything done that year because of the contractor situation. So that's why the three-year average is somewhat down. But I hope to get caught up with that this summer and get some of that money spent because it is much needed. Road grade replacement. There's nothing budgeted under that currently. Shoulders, that's a big item of mine for safety. That's the edge drop-offs on the pavement. We're constantly hauling rock on the edges to build that back up so people don't drop their tire off for safety reasons. Erosion control. The three average looks a little high there. Because that's where we put our FEMA rock when we haul for when we get our roads eroded by flooding. So that's why that average looks high there. We hope to not have a flood event this year. Driveway culverts, just $2,000. We just replacing worn out driveway culverts. Drainage and county tile. The first one is the county, or is it broken down? Yeah, the first one is county road tile repair within the road right-of-way, so that's at our expense. Second one is drainage district repairs, and that's where we get into a district and we have to hire a contractor. We got to get that contractor paid right away. The district takes time to pay him, so we just go ahead and pay the bill, and then we get reimbursed later from the district. And then the last one is the tile crossings. When they cross a road by law, the road department has to pay for that. We That's a hard one to estimate. That comes at a request from farmers when they want to put new tile in, so we never know when that's going to happen, but we usually get two or three of those a year. Dust control, $3,000. The DOT is going to be doing that Highway 30 project this summer, but they should be paying for all any necessary dust control. They're going to have some detour routes, and one is on a gravel road. They should pay for that up front. But so this is mainly for our projects that cause detours on gravel roads. Training education, that's for the maintenance side of things, bringing in safety training type things for our safety meetings. Landfill fees, that's up a little bit. We used to have some tire programs for waste tires that would pay for some of that, and that's kind of gone away. So we're up a little bit on that.
Are we hauling, we're hauling to Boom? Or where are we hauling?
The tires is the Green Man, and there are companies that specialize in tire recycling Minnesota. Brings us to road maintenance, snow and ice control. This is mainly our salt and calcium chloride and sand purchase, $100,000. The past couple years haven't been too bad, so the average is down, but we have had years where we were well above that, so the 100 is kind of an average. Brings us to traffic control. That's our signage. The 35.5, that's good historical average. That doesn't fluctuate a whole lot. I would point out while we're on this item, something to think about in the future. We do night drives to check the reflectivity of our signs at night, too. We're required to do that every year. My sign foreman keeps indicating all the street signs out there, which there's a lot of them. I don't know when they were put in, 20, 30 years ago, before I was here. They're really getting faded, so that's going to be a big purchase all at once. Whether the 911 board pays for any of that or not, I don't. That's something we'll have to discuss. But that, I think it'll be $100,000 to $200,000 purchase that'll be coming up here in probably in the near future. Lighting. That's
is that something you could use part of the 1.7?
Yeah, that's a good point. We could be adding that in. That's going to take some time to inventory everything and get it in order placed, but yeah, if we could put that in for next year, it would give us enough time probably.
The other thing is that with the whole 911 being busy with the radio upgrades right now, I don't know.
Yeah, I was concerned about that too.
What the time frame would be as far as being able to actually sit down and do some discussing as to how much they can pay and are willing to pay and would pay, and I don't even know.
Sure.
I have no idea.
They did vote to pay 50%.
What?
They did vote to pay 50%.
No, I'm talking about 911. This project. I'm talking about 911 signage, or if we're going to update all the signage. They agreed to pay 50% of that?
Okay.
Did they?
No, they agreed to pay 50% of the public radio.
Public radio, yeah. I'm talking
public safety radio.
I'm saying that right now the 911 is pretty focused on that.
Yes.
So will they have time to talk about what they would be willing to do when it comes to replacing all the 911 signs? Because I can't remember how that was right at the beginning of my tenure, and I don't remember how that all worked originally, and who paid for what when it came to 911 signage.
I can't find any records on it.
You can't find records on it. Oh my gosh. So like when we all switched to 911 signs, yeah, I don't.
I think a lot of counties do pay for it through the 911.
Through the 911.
I don't know about it. The second time around. That was to initially get them out there.
Right. Right. Right.
My thinking was just related to if we wanted to try and take care of some of this carryover balance this year. Okay, I think the preference is on the carryover for me. Let's try to do things that have multi-year impact, right?
So that was the one thing that it seemed like if we paid for them, mm-hmm. yeah, and got them done, boys, there we are for a good
right,
few
but
years.
I also don't think the county should go out there and say, we're going to pay for this just because we have the funds there when it comes to the signage. If it makes, if the correct way to do it is to split the cost with 911.
Yeah. Did not say that I was against splitting the cost with 911.
No, so but I'm just saying that as opposed to going out there and saying,
how about
if we have money, let's do this, I want to make sure that the 911 conversation is had as far as what their thoughts are on replacing signage.
Yeah, so it's
like
good to
have some work you want to do before you know what exactly we'd be doing here. Just first is how much it's going to cost and then see what 911.
Yeah, that's what I was suggesting.
Okay, good.
Start putting the numbers together on that.
Okay.
Lighting on county roads, that's our destination lights, mainly utility bills for those lights. Pavement markings, we do that every year. We do center line paint every year and the edge line every 2 to 3 years. And that averages about $90,000 a year. Guardrail replacement, that's just for accident locations. We got to do some minor replacements of guardrail. No big changes there. Road clearing. It's mainly for chainsaws, stuff like that. Materials for ditch maintenance. There's some seed we have in our budget. We seed things every once in a while, but we mostly rely on IRBM to do the majority of the budgeting for seed. That brings us to equipment. New equipment purchases. We're asked for a new excavator this year, $315,000. We currently have two excavators. Almost every job we do in the summer requires an excavator. Our oldest one is a 2008. I would like to keep that one around, so this would give us an additional excavator for a while, which allows us to get a little bit more work done. And with our new superintendent, who's very capable of operating equipment, he could help out when time allows. So I still anticipate using that older excavator for a while until it starts having mechanical issues. But so that would be an addition to our fleet. The second item is a drag and retriever. We have one drag and one retriever now. They're getting old, but we're going to use them as long as we can. But so these will also be additionals to our fleet. The drag is something you can drag behind a tractor and maintain a gravel road. We found it very useful this year when we couldn't get on roads with heavy equipment when the frost boils were out there. We could drag a lighter tractor with this drag behind it and try to smooth roads out. And the retriever is what the machine you hook onto the motor grader and it pulls the shoulder in. It cuts down on some of our shoulder rock that we have to pay for. And when the shoulders get high, they need to be cut down. So that's what the retriever is. It pulls the shoulder in. So that would allow us to have two of those running. The pickups, the three pickups are more heavy duty. The maintenance superintendents, and now we have a new assistant maintenance superintendent. He will need one that doesn't currently exist. That'll be a brand new addition to the fleet. And then the assistant engineer, his is getting old enough where, but those are our better trucks. We just pass those down in the fleet. And then the oldest fleet trucks, so that's what we actually get rid of to replace the.
How old is your oldest fleet truck?
We have some 20-year-old pickups out there that are getting pretty rusty and about 20 years, I would say.
Wow. Oh, yes, yeah.
That's a long life.
A lot of those don't get a lot of use because they're at the out shops with the motor grader operator. They take them out from time to time to check the roads when they're not in their motor grader, so they don't get a ton of miles. They just get a lot of age on them. And the last item is the chipper. We chip our trees up when we do our brush cutting in the winter. The chipper we have now is a little over 20 years old, 1999. And Joe Quaker's indicated the new ones have some safety updates that he think we ought to really look at too. So safety and age is why we're replacing that.
Is that the type of piece of equipment we might try to sell, Lynn, secondhand, or are we just going to scrap it?
The existing one, we generally don't need to. I better check with Joe and Conservation on that before we get rid of it.
Okay. I just wondered if that was the type of thing that has a second hand, a market value after.
It would. Any questions on equipment? That's usually a big item for us, the ones that kind of fluctuates the most for us. What's not reflected there is the motor grader lease. $250,000 at a loss, but we don't include that in our budget.
So the radio lease of $175,000 that's listed in here, is that what you're saying, the purchase lease, or is that
the those operations?
That's the next item.
I'm sorry.
See, what's the
okay, yeah.
The line items above it.
No, I realize that. I just thought we had moved on.
Yeah, I got confused with that.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so we're up to equipment operations then. And the first item is a big item, and it includes a lot of different things. So the big things that were increased in this asking were our parts budget. We usually ask for $130,000. I'm bumping that up to $150,000, so $20,000 what we normally ask for. The main reason for that is our trucks are having a lot of the emissions systems we've been required to pass. A number of years have had a lot of issues with them, and they get expensive to replace and repair. And that also impacts the next item is outside labor. That's items our internal mechanics can't handle. It's a lot of electronic type stuff. I'm bumping that from $30,000 a year up to $40,000, and that's, again, a lot of those emissions issues. We cannot fix those internally, so it's bumping up that item. Fuel is also included in this $864,000 item. We're using the $3 a gallon. Everybody's using countywide. It's just our gallons fluctuate with weather. So there's a little increase in that item. Those are the main reasons why. Everything else is staying about the same. Radio lease, we budgeted this $175,000. That it included the radio purchase of $150,000 and then $25,000 for, I think we considered that a tower fee, but I understand there could be a maintenance fee as well on top of that.
I believe the maintenance doesn't kick in until the second year, but we need to check with Dina on that.
Okay.
So how many radios did you have?
I believe it was 64.
64 radios?
Yeah.
And they're public works, so 911 does not pay half of them. So you did basically the $3,393.
Yes, $3,393. I used 58 in our estimate. We brought it down some. We decided to use the handhelds in our pickups now, because before we had radios installed in the pickups and we had handhelds, so we're trying to get by with less radios. Mm-hmm. We're going to try it for a while because we have to buy these. So, yeah, I think we got it down to 58.
Okay.
Good. Okay. So the $25,000 works? We probably just need the $25,000 in there.
Okay.
What do you mean by only need the
$25,000
in there?
Because the StoryCom is paying for the purchase of the radios.
Even for secondary.
That's our understanding.
The original
It's gone back and forth.
The original borrowing was to pay for all the radios.
Right.
So, yes, that's how it looks like the plan is to pay for the radios even for secondary.
Okay.
And the three for facility.
Mm-hmm.
We'll double check that.
Okay. Yeah.
I have an email interview about the three that I didn't have for Darren's.
Okay. Change that to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, safety program. Again, that's funds a lot of our safety issues with the county and pays for speakers and stuff like that, or safety meetings. We're getting a lot more of those free now. That's why the numbers, we haven't spent, it's been historically $5,000, but our three average has gone down just because we, I don't know if that will continue or not, that we'll get a lot of those free, but we're switching over a lot more videos that don't cost us as much as the in-person speakers we had in the past.
And is that switch in part due to us having a risk manager, or is that?
Not so much as, like, we have LTAP, it's a federal agency, it's out of Ames, that they've created a lot of videos and stuff that we've been able to use now. They have a service. We can only view them like once, and then we got to start paying for them, but that's helped bring down the cost. That's the main reason.
Thank you.
The flood warning system, that is, we have a lot of flood gauges. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Ames flood warning system. We pay for a portion of that. We always have, because it was an expensive expenditure up front. But then this is mainly for the maintenance fee, just to keep it going. Tools and supplies, that's just our general tools for the shop. Fairly average. The three average is up because we bought a fairly expensive tire machine recently, but 12.5 is more than our average. And welding supplies is just, we average about $2,000 a year for welding. Buildings and drainage districts. The district assessment of $15,000, that's what roads get billed for any drainage district project that happens. So that's somewhat unpredictable what's going to happen a year and a half from now. But if DD5 went, that would have to be bumped up. But that's not going now. So I think we're good with the 15 as an estimate. I was looking at the high three-year average. That's because the new sheds, the buildings are just $30,000. We have some additional things we'd like to do with the new buildings. We were going to look at a hoop salt building up at Roland, but we don't think we have room for that up there. But so we're looking at possibly putting that here in Nevada. Our existing salt sand mix bin is practically falling down, so it's time to do something with that. So that's why there's a little bit of additional money left in there, but the three-year average is due to the two new shops, the Kelly and Roland shed. Takes us to the labor side of things. We've included the two new positions that the board recently approved for us. Thank you again for that. Those are much needed. Employee insurance, that's something, I assume Lisa helped you calculate that number.
Can we go back up to that extra help?
Sure.
Three-year average is 16, and you've got 30.
The two new people.
Temporary. Extra help.
We
temporary.
Yeah,
oh, we're
thinking
that was temporary.
That's where they pay the
additional position.
Mm.
Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Whatever temporary they hire will come out of here.
Yeah.
So that could be summer and the equipment operator temporary.
Okay, never mind.
Sure. I did forget to mention, I did bump our overtime up to $60,000. It's been $50,000 since I can remember. At some point, it needs to be bumped up, and our average over the years, I could give you what that is, but I think 60 is a closer estimation for the future.
It totally depends on the year, too.
Yeah. We've spent $150 before, so. The employee insurance, that's something
out of
my head.
Yeah, that number is a combination of retiree insurance premiums and the annual actual insurance line item for the employees. So that's a combination thereof. They pay their own retiree out of their budget, which is unusual. None of the rest of them do, but because of secondary roads funding, we went ahead and did it that way from day one.
And they've had more individuals take the insurance, too, I think. So that's increased a little bit. Every time we hire somebody new, a lot of times, so. Or we've had more sign-ups at open enrollment. But, the usage has increased.
And you have two new employees in that position in there that we didn't have when we originally set up, or when the budget was originally.
Uniforms, that's something we adjusted a bit last year. We now split it into two, a taxable and a non-taxable. They're allowed to purchase clothing items, and we reimburse them for those.
I have a question about this, and it's not related directly to the budget, but since we do reimburse for uniforms or whatever, do we have any policy about them not wearing something that says secondary roads when they would be at a different function and speaking?
We do not, I'm aware of.
Thank you. I mean, I just kind of wondered. I was at something where somebody had it on and yet was expressing an opinion related to totally something different and stuff. And, of course, I didn't say a word. I mean, I just thought, it was one of those things. But they also work some long hours sometimes. They don't have time to get home. I mean, I got it. I just wondered if we had a policy or not.
No.
Okay. Well, I guess if it starts to be a problem, but the one time does not a problem make. So, okay.
And the last item, there's workman's comp insurance. And then we get into construction. So let's flip to the construction sheet. Spreadsheet, local construction project review on the top. The first, they're map numbered at 1 through 6, those first items with the star. What that is, because construction falls right in the middle of the fiscal year ending July 1st, we never know what side the construction is going to fall on. In the past, this is something Rick and I had a lot of discussions over in the past on how to budget for this, but the DOT has made a change recently. They made a budget for those projects in both years. Historically, they've changed that now, so we only have to budget for it in the first year, and we don't have to put it in the program and budget the next year. So those zeros, we used to put the actual dollars in there and budget the money twice, and that also had a big impact on our carryover balance. But from here on out, I can show zeros, or I could not even show that information, but I like to show the projects because they haven't been built yet, so it kind of gives the board a better idea of what we're actually going to do the next year. But the bottom four projects are for the next fiscal, so the bottom four probably won't get let until about a year from now. We usually let our projects in the winter, so then we don't know if they'll actually get built before or after July 1st. So the first six were already approved last year, so I'll start with number 7. Howard number 3, you can see where that is on the map on the next sheet. That's actually a county line bridge. Now, just point out while we're on that project, typically we share on a county line project the cost equally between the two counties, but we did, for some reason, our agreement with Hamilton County, they split the bridges up a long time ago that agreement was made, but so we're responsible for certain bridges. This particular mile has 4 bridges on 1 mile. It's a very unique mile in the county, and this is the smallest bridge on that mile, but we're responsible for it 100%. Number 8 is just an overlay project up by Story City. We've got a number of overlay projects up in that area. This is the only one that's local funded, so this ties in with a bunch of other ones. That's right to point out, this is strictly locally funded construction only. We have a lot more projects we're doing in FY21, but they're not funded locally. So this is just the locally funded ones only, and we'll get into the big picture of the construction program when we have the workshop next month. That'll give you a better idea. This is mainly just bumping up the projects you had approved in the five-year program the year before. But with that, I'll point out number nine is a brand new addition. That doesn't happen a lot, but one, I wanted to, because of the bonding, took care of some of the other projects we had planned. I needed to bump a couple more projects up in there to spend some more money. This is a bridge down in Collins 32 that part of our bridge inspections were done last winter. They pointed out this one had some structural issues. It's an old wood bridge, and it required a 12-month inspection cycle rather than 24. So it deteriorated rapidly. So I added that one in as a brand new project that hadn't been in the program in the past. And then number 10 had been in the program, but I bumped it up an additional year to spend some more additional money in FY21. So that was just bumped up. So grand total at the bottom, $530,000 for local construction. That's typically what we average over a number of years up until the past 2 to 3 years. It really increased due to the fuel tax increase, and we did some local paving jobs with local money, which we don't normally do, which had some big increases. So right now it's $530,000. I hope next year to bump that up a little bit more, but due to the bonding and stuff, we didn't have a lot of projects designed out front, so we could potentially bump one or two more up if we wanted to spend some more of that money, but that's more of a discussion for the five-year program probably when we talk about that next month, but I know you'd have to budget for it now, but that's something I'll have to consider. Any questions about any of those projects?
Let's bump back up to the capital projects that's bonded, the line above it, which, as you notice, is, I'm putting that in a different fund there, $31,000.
You're referring to 1 through 6?
Pardon?
Are you on the construction page referring to 1 through 6?
No, I'm looking at the 105 budget, page 105.
Okay.
The line right above this 530 is the... it's also roadway construction, but it's the bonded money is what I'm going to call it. So we went ahead and assumed that we're going to get $1 million this year. We're going to spend $1 million this year. I'm sorry. We're going to spend $1 million this year, which was the 13th Street 20.
In 20, okay.
So, I'm showing it as assuming that I'm not showing anything spent. No. Okay. But we need to talk about what the projects are that are in this and what the amount that we're actually going to spend in some fiscal years is going to be. I think the conversation that we've had so far is that the 13th Street project is on hold, and that's what this $1 million was for.
Okay.
I put in here as an estimate.
Why is it on hold? Please just remind me.
Yeah, well, you haven't been updated on that yet. I'm going to update you that tomorrow at our quarterly report. But purchasing the right-of-way is an issue right now. It needed right-of-way. So I'll update you more on that tomorrow.
Thank you.
My opinion, the trigger for bonding now is going to be more the 560th Avenue. That's the one we're putting $1 million in with Huxley's project. So that we won't have to pay for any of that until it's completely done and approved, and then we reimburse more or less Huxley. There's a public meeting on that a week or two ago, and that still sounds like it's moving forward, and they're hoping to let it in the next couple months. But it's a big project, grading and paving, so I don't anticipate that getting completed until, you know, July or August, probably the earliest, and then
okay.
It might take another month or two to get the reimbursement paperwork through. So,
So
that's $1 million.
So it's okay to put $1 million next year in next year's budget then.
Correct.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, because that is going to happen, and that's the 560th. Okay. year, Huxley.
You're referring the $1 million into the 2021.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For $560,000.
Right.
Now, you don't have the bonding sheet, but I've got a sheet here with the bond projects on it, and I probably should point that out, too. There was two small projects that were added at the end. One's just a pipe, CMP pipe, and then a box culvert for $125,000 to $75,000. They were scheduled to be let next month. I think what I'd like to do is let the box culvert for $125,000, because typically they don't get built till last thing of the year. So that would probably fall about the same time frame as the Huxley $1 million. But the pipe for $75,000, I don't want to let that right now because they could potentially do that very quickly. Pipes are easy to get. The box culverts have to be fabricated in the summer, and it takes a lot longer to do. The pipes they could do very quickly, and we'd have to pay for it quickly, so that would trigger the bonding, and I don't want to trigger that sooner than we have to, so we get all figured out what we're really going to do. So this New Albany 18 culvert for $75,000, I think I'm just going to bump back to 21, so we don't trigger the bonding sooner than necessary. The other project that's a bit unknown right now is the Timberland Drive, Story City. We, for $200,000, I've been talking with them again recently, and city manager still thinks that's going. He wanted to split it into two phases, $100,000 for phase one and $100,000 for phase two, and I said that's not going to work because we have to spend the money quickly because he has no idea when phase two would happen. So I was like, you need to spend the whole $200,000 on the first phase. And I'm trying to get them pinned down a little more on timing, if there's any chance of that happening this summer or fall or not. But so I'm working on that one. That's the other one that could be one of the first ones.
You're going to have that list for us tomorrow, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But I know where Lisa's coming from. It's a bit hard to predict what we need the bond for at this point because the two big ones are the 13th Street, which we're having right-of-way issues on, and 530th. There's some major utility issues we're going to have on that that could almost double the cost of the project. So 530th Avenue, University Extension.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into more of that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get more into that tomorrow.
All right.
What are you suggesting?
No, I'm fine with that.
The best I can. I don't know what, other than the timing, the numbers are pretty much.
Yeah. Unknown.
Yeah. I think so, in the next 6 months we can really pin the timing down a lot better than we can right now.
Right, right. For sake of argument, at this point in time, I put the $1.2 million, which is the $1 million for 560th and $200,000 for the box and pipe he was just talking about in next year's expenses. Out of the bonding. That's what I'm looking at for next year.
Okay.
And that's as far as I've gone.
Okay.
Because I think we need to finalize what exactly is going to happen with these two big projects that were in this bonding before we make any assumptions, any further assumptions.
The other thing I'm wondering is we've been in a conversation with the city of Ames for quite some time about some intersections north of Ames that are shared intersections, and the ball's been in their court for quite some time. I think there's a couple reasons. I think one is that Friedrich has not really pushed forward yet on some of his construction there and the annexing and all that, and the other thing being the Ames 2040. I've just gotten a sense that they're wanting to see the direction there. But if something happens there and there's some indication that Ames might be willing to do something on some problem intersections up there and splitting costs with the county or county having some participation, where would we have room to do that?
More
or
less
that
carryover balance, and that's something we can probably talk more about at the five-year program discussion meeting if we want to put that in as kind of a placeholder for a while. And
you're talking about George Washington Carver.
Carver and Cameron, 190th and Carver, 190th and Hyde are the three that in their traffic study, they said something needs to happen with. And I think that both of us are very familiar with the issues there. But it's, like I said, the ball's been in their court for quite some time. But I just want to make sure that if it becomes a time when we can move forward on those, that we have some monies identified that might be able to. And that's why I would say that not spending down that carryover, you know, not just saying let's spend that down to the penny, because I think that's still something.
Yeah, okay.
And I'd like to go back to the trail that we went from 190th up to Gilbert Breton et al. Okay. So could you please remind me about how we ended up putting that in a road project instead of a conservation project, and is it possible for us to do some other trail work out of that? Or do we have to be doing a road at the same time? At the same area?
Well, it's sometimes difficult for us to purchase the right-of-way for a bike trail only. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea was there we would lump it into our road project, and you can actually condemn land for a road project, but you can't for a bike project. We didn't end up having issues getting the right-of-way for that either way, so we didn't have to test it, but that's kind of why we did it as part of the road project. Because we had to buy a lot of additional right-of-way to accommodate the bike trail in there. But, yeah, typically bike trail money is spent through conservation. But this particular, we had the money in the project going there already, so we just thought we'd expand our project a little bit. That's allowable.
It's allowable for, and I just want to make sure, it is allowable to spend some secondary roads funds on a bike trail?
You can. I don't like to recommend it because I think that funding should be somewhat separate. And I liked how we'd handle it through conservation. That kind of keeps it somewhat separate from the road fund. But yeah, you can. That's a little bit of a gray issue, but some legal opinions might be required on that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that at least then we can get an opinion on that. And I'm thinking the Prairie Rail Trail. I mean, we already have the right-of-ways and everything. The issue is people up there want it paved.
Yeah.
So, once again, I'm just looking at those types of projects that are transportation-related that would have multi-year benefit. Okay, thank you.
I think you're getting at the road use tax fund can only be used on road purposes legally, and whether the bike trail fits in that or not, yeah, that can be questionable. I've never heard it tested. If we pave a shoulder like we did on R38, right, there's really no question that's part of the road top, but if you have a separated bike path,
okay.
I don't know if it's been tested legally.
That's fine. Thank you, Darren, for that. Okay.
Do you know if Ames is ever going to build their portion of that? I don't know if you know anything.
No, we had a meeting a couple weeks ago on their visioning 2045, and that I asked about that, and they, the old Rose Prairie property, that the developer has to pay for the bike path. Until that develops, it won't have a bike path. So
are you kidding?
That's what we've been told for a long time, but that may change if it sits long enough.
Darren, if you get any more invites to meetings on that, will you please let me know? I sit on the AAMPO, and I've already said to Damien once that, and John Pop expressed the same opinion to him.
Sure.
Okay, we sit on that board, and we are being totally left out of the discussion.
Okay.
So I will follow up from my end as a policy maker, and I will follow up with the appropriate people at the city there. But in the meantime, could you please let me know if you get invited to anything more on the 2045?
Sure.
Thank you.
So I'm at about a 48% ending fund balance, 3.8 after these adjustments, and that the bonding portion is totally separate from that, not in those numbers, okay? So I'm about at $3.8 million, okay, FYI.
Good.
What's your total?
The bottom line, as opposed to 7.5, is 9.1.
9.138.
But when I'm doing my percent calculation of ending fund balance, I'm only using secondary roads funds, not
9.13.
Was adding in the bonding, the 500,000 carryover to Rock, and did you
subtract the 150 for the
radio? Subtract 150 on the StoryCom radios. So, Loris, you had said you wanted to wait till we were done with the presentation to give your okie-dokie on the 500,000.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Right. Better
double check it.
Thank you.
1.138.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I just misheard.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other things that you think we need to talk about regarding this budget? Or are we good with those changes? Hearing nobody say anything? Darren?
I just wanted to say that prior to the shifting we did, I had written down in my notes here, is that you showed actually then with 524,920 more in revenue than expenses, but of course this is where we were trying to spend money instead. Okay, so but anyway, I'm going to say good job, followed the directions very well, and still out of staff. So
I just want to be clear too. So we're still at an unknown with the 911. Is that correct? We need more.
The signs, the
more definitive on that.
Yes.
So that may fluctuate what's listed here.
Yeah. My point was I don't want to put some money in to show we're going to spend it if it's going to be a ways down the road before we know how this is all going to play out. And with the 911 other things on their plate, I don't know that they would have the time to say sit down and say, oh, yeah, we're willing to pay half of the new signage for the county.
I think since they just decided they were paying them. 50% on the public
on the tower
on the public safety radios. I think it's a good time to just let that sit a little while because we don't really have an estimate in here for that.
No, right. My intention is just to get the board to start thinking about it.
Right.
In case some
That's
of that
good.
Issues come up and
so one of the things that I can foresee is next year at this point in time we might have a better handle on where we're at on other projects and where we're at on ending fund balances, and B, what the thought process is on what 911 would do if we did do new signage for the whole county.
Sure. No, thank you. I appreciate your input.
I just don't want to put money in there to put money in there.
No. Right.
Not having any idea what their thought process is.
Right. No, that's good.
You're right.
Yep. You're good.
You're changing
them
a lot.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay, so any other final thoughts? Anything else? Darren, anything you have for us?
No, I think it's going to be important. We need to get more rock out on the gravel roads, and we're showing some increases there. And I've given you some of these numbers before, but just to put our normal amount of raw calling on the entire system, 700 miles, I think that's like a half inch of rock on the whole thing. That's not a lot. That'd be like $3 million just to do it once. So we're making headway, but to make a big impact out there would be extremely expensive. And all counties are struggling with this right now after the spring thaw we had last year.
Well, some roads are in better shape than others, though.
Oh, definitely.
Let's hope that we don't have another spring like that. That's that devastating thing to the roads.
There was one county in our conference that Sioux County is getting some, I think it's $600 million plant coming in or something, and they're pretty much tipping the whole thing and free rocking their entire county, which tens of millions of dollars. Just,
wow.
But you'd almost have to have something like that come to to be able to do that. But, no, I think we need to, that new rock number should probably be what we use from here on out. It shouldn't be just a one-time thing. So the budget can accommodate it right now. Hopefully it can in the future.
Okay. And you think that in the additional $500,000 is a reasonable amount of what you can handle, kind of what?
Yeah, it's a balance
earlier.
What we can afford and what I think we can actually get hauled to the road in that time frame,
sure.
too. So
yeah. Yeah.
We'll see how this spring goes. It'll give us a better idea because
okay.
I've never tried to do this amount before in the past.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Okay.
And they actually did run out of rock last year as well.
I remember us having the conversation.
And the Facebook plant down in Des Moines took a lot of rock all the way down to Des Moines, and Mark Marietta ran out. I've never had that happen before.
So if we're taking 500, okay. I'm so concerned about those intersections that we still have some money.
I agree that that's a good way to, if we don't spend that balance completely down, we can kind of use that as a placeholder.
Some kind of leverage on some of those projects.
Yeah, because that could, like you say, pop up really quickly all of a sudden if an opportunity arises where we can get something done.
Yeah, if there, because we've gone, what, several months now with no willingness from them to move on that. If all of a sudden they're willing to, I want to make sure we can take advantage of it. I still think Ames has to have the majority of that.
So, Darren, can you give us a brief kind of recap about that conversation with Damien? I assume it was with Damien. About the 2045 plan.
That was basically a visioning where they put the map out in front of you and you circle the priorities.
Which is the same they did with the public. Okay.
Yeah, so I pointed out the intersections that Linda mentioned here, that priority for the county, and it didn't appear to get a lot of. This was the first step, so we really haven't prioritized things yet, but I don't know if I wanted to put it on there, it would have even made it on the map.
Well, thank you for that, because it was addressed and pointed out at the public open. John Pop and I were there.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for that. So then I, following up on this, then what would you guys like to do? Linda, would you like to contact the City of Ames again or have Darren contact?
Oh, I can send Damien another email to remind him the ball's in their court. I do that every now and then.
Okay. All right.
I don't just really hear back.
Okay.
So that's why I just decided that, you know, they got the Ames 2040 plan. I would just as soon wait until they get to the point where they say where their growth area is. You know,
okay.
What they're looking at there. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're certainly looking on, you know, Hyde Avenue or Grant Avenue, whichever.
Traffic calming on Hyde.
Right, but I mean, they certainly have, you know, some interest in developing that land just right from Hyde that turns into Grant up to 190th.
Well, Gilbert's also developing about a half mile south.
Right. Yeah. It's going to increase the.
Yeah, it's not going to get. Yeah, but I just, my sense has just been they've got five growth areas.
Right.
And they're not tipping their hand as it comes to that. I thought this Tuesday they were going to work on it, but it's after the input session last time. It sounded like the mayor was saying we need more time for that. We've got all these other things on our plate, including our budget work sessions. So. I got the sense it's going to be a ways away. I could talk to the mayor about it because sure. There's a couple issues I think that we're. That might be the way to do it rather than just send another email to the email.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll follow up just on the 2045 issue in general. But that's great. That sounds good. Just to let you know, at the AUDC Executive Committee meeting on last Friday, the 2040 plan was discussed. Also, since there were at least three of us, maybe four of us, who had been at that.
Can you tell us about that? Anything?
Just that the frustration about the length of time it's taking to really narrow down what their choices are is being shared by members of the development community and at least by some of the staff that are working on development throughout the county. And not that it affects anybody in the county, but in general that there seems to be a lot of frustration, maybe some of it that even the council has expressed before. It doesn't seem that the consultants have been nailing down or providing enough guidance to the council for them to really sit and talk about accept or reject this particular option versus another. Also, some concerns about the infill presentations that happened a few weeks ago.
I'm still concerned about that infill. It seems like if they're going to look at doing more intensity, they really have to look at their zoning ordinance.
That reminded me, Linda, just FYI, Scott Renault had been a part of those discussions with the Cameron School. He no longer works for Fox, just so you know. Don't try to send
him. He doesn't.
I don't know what happened, but that's a recent change, so don't email him about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Has he been out? Do you know? Has he gone out on his own?
I do not know what happened.
Okay, thank you.
Because he might still work for Kurt.
Possible.
Yeah.
But we'll leave that up to Kurt. I wonder, could we have a little bit of discussion just after we're done with this set?